Blog Talk Radio.
Takes us back to our youth when entertainment was provided by radio. That's right, our minds gave us the picture. We didn't have TV back in the day. Such shows as Hop Harrigan, Sky King, Captain Midnight, and a few others related to aviation. We also had music unlike what we hear today. That's why we decided to bring back the sounds of the big band era, the music we all grew up with. In today's episode, we feature the Dizzy Gillespie Orchestra, songs from the bebop era. Now, before we listen to our first selection, here's an Eastern Airlines commercial.
Fly Eastern Airlines, Eastern Airlines.
Fly Eastern.
You'll love to travel by
Eastern,
where new things are happening.
Eastern.
Fly Eastern Airlines from the ground up.
Traveling on Eastern's easier
from the ground up.
Eastern service is speedier.
Fly Eastern Airlines. Eastern Airlines.
Todd Dameron, or Dizzy Gillespie, as we know his name to be, was the youngest of nine children of the James and Lottie Gillespie. Dizzy Gillespie was born in Shoshone, South Carolina. His father was a local band leader, so instruments were made available to the children. Gillespie started to play piano at the age of four. Gillespie's father died when he was only 10 years old. He taught himself how to play trumpet, trombone as well as trumpet. But by the age of 12, from the night he heard his idol Roy Eldridge on the radio, he dreamed of becoming a jazz musician. He won a music scholarship to the Lauenberg Institute in North Carolina, which he attended for 2 years before accompanying his family when they moved to Philadelphia. Gillespie's first professional job was with Frank Fairfax Orchestra in 1935, after which he joined the respective orchestras of Edgar Hayes and later Teddy Hill, replacing Frankie Newman on second trumpet in May of 1937. Teddy Hill's band was where Gillespie made his first recording, called the King Porter Stomp. In August 1937, he gigged with Hayes in Washington, D.C. Gillespie met a young dancer named Lorraine Willis, who worked Baltimore, Philadelphia, and the New York City circuit, which also included the Apollo Theater. Willis was immediately friendly, but Gillespie was attracted anyway. The two finally married on May 9th of 1940. They remarried, and they remained married until his death in 1993. Now, over at Eastern in January 1st, 1935, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was named General Manager of Eastern Airlines Division of North American Aviation. In July, the operations and maintenance base was moved from Atlanta to Miami. On October 14th, the last open cockpit airmail flight by a scheduled carrier was made by Captain Shelley Charles in a Pitcairn mail wing from Chicago to Atlanta and continued on to Jacksonville by Captain J.F. Buckman. By the end of 1935, Eastern had 14 DC-2s and 5 Lockheed Electras. There were 589 employees. Mr. Producer, looking back in your vast archives, and see if you can find King Porter's Stomp. That was Gillespie's first solo recording.
Okay, I'll take it out of the jacket, dust it off here, and crank up the Victrola. And
the Victrola.
If you'll wait just a minute, I'll see if I can put the stylus on the grooves of the record.
Positions, Picking the Cabbage, in 1940. After a notorious altercation between the two men, Calloway fired Gillespie in 1941. The incident is recorded by Gillespie's and Calloway's band members, Milt Hilton and Jonas Jones, in the Gene Batch 1997 film, The Spitball Story. Calloway disapproved of Gillespie's mischievous humor and his adventuresome approach to soloing. According to Jones, Calloway referred to it as Chinese music. During rehearsal, someone in the band threw a spitball. Already in a foul mood, Calloway blamed Gillespie, who refused to take the blame. Gillespie stabbed Calloway in the leg with a knife. Calloway had minor cuts on his thigh and wrist. After the two men were separated, Calloway fired Gillespie, obviously. A few days later, Gillespie tried to apologize, but he was dismissed. During this time at Calloway's band, Gillespie started his own big band with Woody Herman and Jimmy Dorsey. He then freelanced with a few bands, mostly Ella Fitzgerald's orchestra, composed of members of the Chick Webb's band. Now, back at Eastern in 1941, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was badly injured in a crash of a DST into Atlanta. Eastern introduced hot food service on the DC-3s. Captain Leland Jameson, well-known Eastern captain and author, died. Leland was one of three Jameson brothers who flew for Eastern. Reaper member Warren Jameson is still alive. Now, here's a song called Pickin' the Cabbage, as performed by Dizzy Gillespie and the Cab Calloway Orchestra. Thank you. as the first modern jazz style. However, it was unpopular in the beginning. It was not viewed as positively as the swing music was. Bebop was seen as an outgrowth of swing, not a revolution. Swing introduced a diversity of new musicians in the bebop era, like Charlie Parker, Erroneous Monk, Bud Powell, Kennedy Clark, Oscar Pitford, and of course Gillespie. Though these musicians, a new vocabulary of musical phrases was created. With Parker, Gillespie jammed at the famous clubs like Milton's Playhouse and Monroe's Uptown House. Parker's system also held methods of adding chords to existing chord progressions and implying additional chords within improvised lines. I didn't say that fast, folks. Gillespie's compositions like Groovin' High, Woody and You, and Salt Peanuts sounded radically different, harmonically and rhythmically, from the swing music popular at the time. A Night in Tunisia, written in 1942 while he was playing with Earl Hines' band, is noted for having a feature that is common in today's music, a syncopated bass line. The song also displays Afro-Cuban rhythms. Woody and You was recorded in a session led by Coleman Hawkins with Gillespie as a featured sideman on February 16, 1944, the first formal recording of bebop. Gillespie appeared in recordings by the Billy Eckstein Band and started recording prolifically as a leader and sideman in early 1945. He was not content to let bebop sit in a niche in a small group of small clubs. A concert by one of the small groups in New York's Town Hall on June 22, 1945, presented a bebop to the broad audience. Recordings of it were finally released in 2005. He started to organize big bands in the late 1945s. Dizzy Gillespie and his Rebop Six included Parker, starting at the extended gig in Billy Berg's club in Los Angeles. That was in December of 1945. Now, in 1945, over at Eastern, Detroit, Cleveland, Akron, Canton, and Roanoke were added to the system. Over 897,000 passengers were carried. In 1946, Captain Eddie ordered 50 Martin 202s. First, a DC-4 arrived December 15th, 1946. Eastern theme in 1946 was tried and proven. Operations transferred from New Orleans Airport to Manassas Airport. Now, Mr. Producer, can you spin a little bit of that Groovin' High? Thank you. label, DG Records. It closed down in 1953. On January 6, 1953, he threw a party for his wife Lorraine at Snooky's Club in Manhattan, where his trumpet's bell got bent upwards in an accident. But he liked the sound so much, he had a special trumpet made with a 45-degree raised bell, becoming his trademark. In 1956, Gillespie organized a band to go on the State Department tour of the Middle East, which was extremely well-received internationally and earned him the nickname the Ambassador of Jazz. During this time, he also continued to lead a big band that performed throughout the United States and featured musicians like Pee Wee Moore and others. His band recorded a live album in 1957 at the Newport Jazz Festival that featured Mary Lou Williams as a guest on the piano. Now, over at Eastern in 1951, New York San Juan service started. On November 2, 1951, a speed record recording the new route was set by a Lockheed Constellation, 5 hours, 9 minutes. The crew was Captain G. Youngman, pilot D. M. Ferguson, and flight engineer W. Thorpe. First interchange with Braniff on the Miami-Denver route via Memphis. The L-1049 Constellation started the service. Eastern opened its new modern terminal on 36th Street in Miami, replacing the temporary wooden building. Eastern gives the Smithsonian Air Museum a DC-3 that was flown to Washington by Captain Gene Ramsey. In the late 1940s, Gillespie was also involved in a movement called Afro-Cuban music, bringing Afro-Latin music and elements to greater performance in jazz and even pop music, particularly salsa. Afro-Cuban jazz is based on traditional Afro-Cuban rhythms. Afro-Cuban jazz was considered bebop orientated, and some musicians classified it as a modern style. Afro-Cuban jazz was successful because it never decreased in popularity and has always attracted people to dance to its unique rhythms. Gillespie's most famous contributions to Afro-Cuban music are the compositions Mateca and Tintindu. Now listen to Dizzy Gillespie's Latin sound with the song Mateca. Thank you.
That's my kind of music.
I love that.
That was the great step up in music from what it used to be.
That was great.
This next segment is really, everybody should listen to this. This is a fun segment. During the 1964 United States presidential campaign, the artist, with tongue in cheek, put himself forward as an independent write-in candidate. He promised that if he were elected, the White House would be renamed the Blues House, and he would have a cabinet composed of, here we go, Duke Ellington, Secretary of State, Miles Davis, Director of the CIA, Max Roach, Secretary of Defense, Charles Mangus, Secretary of Peace, Ray Charles, Librarian of Congress, Louis Armstrong, Secretary of Agriculture, Mary Lou Williams, Ambassador to the Vatican, the Linarnius Monk, Traveling Ambassador, and Malcolm X, Attorney General. He said his running mate would also be, you ready, Phyllis Diller. Campaign buttons had been manufactured for years before by Gillespie's booking agency for the publicity of the gag, but now proceeds from them went to the benefit of Congress of Racial Equality, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and Martin Luther King Jr. In later years, they became a collector's item. Now, over at Eastern, in 1960, the first DCA, January 24, 1960, major building program at Miami base with a new jet hangar and engine overhaul shop with new jet test cells. And if you ever worked on 36th Street, you can remember hearing those things at night. New terminals at Atlanta and Miami were opened. Sarasota added to the system in January with Captain Jack Lambie on the first flight. It carried 8.96 million passengers with a fleet of 208 airplanes. 1961, air shuttle started April 10th between LaGuardia and Boston and LaGuardia and Washington. Flight engineers strike February 18th to the 24th. 10 Boeing 720s ordered in August of 1961. 1962, January, the Board of Directors of Eastern Airlines and American Airlines agreed to a merger. C.R. Smith would become chairman and Malcolm McIntyre would be president. The proposed merger was rejected by the Justice Department in April of 1963. In 1963, Floyd Hall named new EAL president, with Captain Eddie Rickenbacker remaining chairman on December 16, 1963. Well, let's finish up our Gillespie showcase with a little bit of Tintindu.
Thank you.
Orchestra. For 3 years, Flora Purnum toured with the orchestra, and she credits Gillespie with involving her understanding of jazz after being in the field for over two decades. David Sanchez also toured with the group and was also greatly influenced by Gillespie. Both artists later were nominated for Grammy Awards. Gillespie also had a guest appearance on The Cosby Show, as well as Sesame Street and The Muppet Show. In 1982, Gillespie had a cameo appearance on Stevie Wonder's hit, Do I Do? Gillespie's tone gradually faded in the last years of his life, and his performances often focused more on his proteges, such as Arturo Sandoval and John Fetis. His good-humored comic routines became more of a part of his live act. Now, over at Eastern in 1981 and 1982, this was the news at Eastern. 1981, service started to Barranquilla, Colombia. New theme, America's favorite way to fly. We remember that.
Love that.
Strike by air controllers. Strike by air traffic controllers in August. Low fares of new deregulated carriers cut deeply into revenues. Lost for the year, $65.9 million. Fuel cost up 18% over 1980. 1,500 full-time employees and 1,000 part-time employees are laid off. In 1982, the purchase of Braniff Airlines' South American routes. Although still the top carrier passengers, 35 plus million loss for 1982 was $74 million. They also took delivery of the first two Boeing 757s, with 13 more due in 1983. In December 1991, during the engagement at Kilman's East in Emeryville, California, Dizzy Gillespie suffered a crisis from what would turn out to be a pancreatic cancer. He performed one night before it canceled the rest of the tour over his medical problem, ending his 56-year touring career. Gillespie led his last recording session January 25, 1992. On November 26, 1992, Carnegie Hall, following the second Baja World Conference, and World Congress celebrated Gillespie's 75th birthday concert and his offering to the celebration of the century of the passing of Bahalua. Gillespie was to appear at Carnegie Hall for the thirty-third time. The lineup included John Finnish, James Moody, and Picado Rivera, and the Mike Longo Trio, with Ben Brown on bass and Mickey Rocker on drums. But Gillespie did not make it because he was bit, suffering from pancreatic cancer. But the musicians played their hearts out for him, no doubt suspecting that he would not play again. Each musician gave tribute to their friend and the great soul innovator of the world of jazz. And we'd like to finish up what is considered one of Dizzy Gillespie's greatest hits. And I think you'll recognize this song, so go ahead and give it a whirl, Neil.
You know, I could listen to that all day long. And
yeah,
just a note from the producer.
Hey, you guys.
I think that,
do you remember?
I think
that, go ahead.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Neil.
I think the trumpet had its own language with the three men, Harry James, Dizzy Gillespie, and Louis Armstrong. The trumpet talked. You could hear it speaking, in my opinion. And that last song.
You're right. You're right, especially in this last song you played.
It's beautiful.
And also, you know, later on in the 80s, Herb Albert recorded that as well.
Yeah,
and had a great and had a great great success with it. So it's a really good song. It'll always be around, I'm sure.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a standard Christmas song. It's the same. It's the same as that. You know, it's
It's one of those songs you always want to hear, no matter what.
Always going to be around.
You like to be on the dance floor.
Yeah. There you go.
I wonder, with all of the boogie-woogie stuff, I mean, how we even did it so fast. And we did. We did dance to that kind of music.
Yeah.
It was just incredible.
Well, that's our show for today, folks. And we hope you enjoy the big band sounds. We'll bring you more in the weeks to come. Included in some of the musical history, we try to bring a little bit of Eastern history along with that to kind of fill in everything. What makes it more enjoyable for us, I guess, learning about our company and listening to some of our old songs. Keeping our Eastern family informed is the greatest importance to this radio show. Please join us on Thursdays and every other Thursday when we broadcast from the Eastern Files and EAL Old Time Radio. Monday, November 19th, at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, we bring you the 70th anniversary of the Berlin airlift. That's the 70th anniversary. Two guests will tell us the background of the world's greatest humanitarian airlift. To listen, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Captain Eddie. That's CaptainEddie, Captain Eddie. Or www.EALradioshow.com. You can also call in at area code 213-816-1611. Do you have a story or memory you'd like to share with our Eastern audience? If so, we'd certainly like to hear from you. Eastern Radio Show would like to broadcast it live on one of our shows, either you sharing your memory live or send it to us and we'll broadcast your story on the air. Just send it to host@EALradioshow.com. Well, thanks for listening today. So, on behalf of Captain Neil Holland, our producer, this is Don Gagnon saying, so long, Eastern family. We love you, Eastern.
So long, Eastern family.
If you don't mind, Don, I'm going to go out with It's My Way, which we just heard.
I love that. Go right ahead.
Go do it, Mr. Great show, Neil.
Oh, it was wonderful. I loved it.
I enjoyed it.